this Saturday, right? 2 weeks from this Saturday, a small group. That's right. It's a Saturday right before Easter, and that is March the 26th, I believe. I don't have the calendar right in front of me. But if you are not receiving that calendar by way of email, all you need to do is provide us with your email address, and we can put that in the group email that we send out, and you should get that. And we also have hard copies here on at the back, on the table in the back. We're going to take some needs to the Lord in prayer. Let's continue to remember Sister Connie Adkins. As many of you know, she's still recovering from the procedure. I did get a text from her today saying that she plans to be here in service with us this weekend, so we are looking forward to that. But please do remember her in prayer. Sister Rachel is also not feeling well this evening. I know we've got quite a few out by reason of sickness. Brother Mike? All right. All right, continue remembering. She's been battling bronchitis, and thankfully, little Landon's doing much better. He's been able to go back to school this week, so we're well thankful for that. But I know the sickness is going around. I appreciate Sister Dee. She was walking around before service with a sanitizer wipe, wiping stuff down, and I was like, yeah, that's not a bad thing this time of year. And so I know we have many that are out for reason of sickness. Anybody else have a prayer question you'd like to, Sister Christy? Yes, yes, thank you for bringing that to my attention. Amber Gray, Sister Robin's daughter, is in the hospital. They've done surgery to remove some kidney stones. She's still in a lot of pain, and Sister Robin's not able to be here tonight. But we do want to pray for Amber Gray in regard to that, certainly. Also, continue to remember, I mentioned a family, I believe it was on Sunday, the girl that passed away, young lady that passed away. The pastor's in Ohio. I was correct with the name, last name of Meadows. I did not know until talking to my mom earlier this week that a lady that was in our church for, she'd actually winter at the church in Fruitland Park for many years, that she actually attends the church there, and her family was very close to the pastor and his family. And so there's just a lot of people. The Meadows family evangelized for quite a while prior to taking the church there in Ohio, and the church is just, as you can imagine, been vastly affected by the loss of Ember. So let's continue to remember the Meadows family in prayer, that God would continue to be a help and a strength. Anybody else have a prayer request, Sister Kelly? All right. Sister Starling? All right. All right. All right. In Jesus' name. Let's band. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. Anybody else? All right. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you with absolutely anything. God, whether it be healing in the body, God, of strength, God, whatever the situation is, Lord, we know that you have all the answers, God, that you're able to meet and supply all of our needs, God, and we come to you in that faith and that understanding, God, believing and trusting in your power to work and to move, God, for those in need of employment. God, we know, God, that you can open doors, God, that you can make it possible, God, for those in need of employment and a job, God, to have such. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, God, for those who are feeling ill in their body tonight, sick, God, battling a virus or whatever it is, Lord, we know that you're able to raise up, to restore, to renew. God, we bring the Meadows family before you in prayer once again, asking you to work and to move, God, for Sister Connie Atkins, God, that you would continue the healing process and her recovery, God. Sister Rachel, Lord, as she is not feeling well tonight, God, we know that you're able, God. We're thankful that we can come to you and believe and trust in your power to work and to move and to help, Lord. How wonderful it is to know you, God, and to serve you. We thank you, Jesus. We lift you up and magnify your precious name. We give you glory and honor that you are so due and so worthy of. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. Why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We are going to introduce something that quite frankly, I've never done before in the sense of this particular format. They say variety is the spice of life, so hopefully we're going to offer a little variety in what we're going to be teaching and talking concerning in the weeks to come. I don't know if they put it up there. I've entitled it Plainly Speaking, and I didn't know until I looked it up. I just, a lot of times what I'll do before I, or during the course of titling something, I'll type it into a Google search engine and see what comes up. I did not know, but there's actually an organization out of California that is entitled this, Plainly Speaking. I didn't know that until after I'd, you know, done what I did. But it's not taking anything from them. I think they have to do with some kind of, there's some kind of writing program, online writing program. But mainly I wanted to make sure that I was grammatically correct. And, you know, I'm just that type of person. And while there could be some discussion about that, I entitled it Plainly Speaking for a reason. I believe that in this day and age, for those like we who are endeavoring in our lifestyle, in what we do, and how we live to be different from this world, to live not in accordance with the course of this world, but to live in accordance with the Word of God, as we see society slipping further and further away from biblical precepts, as we see, and I don't know about you, and it's just, obviously, it's in the media right now, and it's something that is occupying much attention. And to see what we have in the sense of the front runners of either major political party, for me, as a conservative, as a Christian, that I uphold morality and ethics and a lot of things that I see not even considered anymore. When it comes to possible candidates to be leaders, for me that's very troubling. I don't know. I would assume that you're the same way. And in this day and age, and in this time, we have got to understand that we will do ourselves no good by acquiescing to society or by just kind of going back into the shadows and not being willing to talk about the issues. Because they're there. And quite frankly, we are, and maybe this is something that is so near and dear to my heart, because I realize that when it comes to my household, when it comes to my children, there are questions that I am going to have to talk with them about that my parents did not have to talk with me about. There is a certain plainness of speech that our society and its continual degradation is going to warrant, in the sense of conversation that I am going to have with my children as they grow up and as they are faced with choices in life. And they are not going to be able, or rather, I am not going to be able to skirt around the issues. I'm not going to be able to just say, well, that's what my dad taught me. I figured it would kind of get this kind of response. So there has to be some plainness of speech, if you will. Now, I want to draw your attention. And basically what this is about is we're going to endeavor to answer questions with Scripture. And it's not going to be questions that I come up with. It's going to be questions that you come up with. And we're going to talk about how this is going to happen. But this curriculum, if you will, is going to be generated by you. Now you say, well, you mean it's going to be the curriculum. In other words, the subjects of our study are going to come from you. You're going to hopefully get involved and pose the questions, and we're going to tell you how that's going to happen, and then we are going to take time to study those things. We are going to answer questions with Scripture. We're going to face some issues about today. We're going to face some issues about who we are. And who we should be in this day and age. How we live. Why we live. Why we live, basically. In the sense of answering the questions. I don't know if many of you, some years ago, there was a series of books. Brother Gray put out a series of books, Pentecostal, or Questions Pentecostals Ask. Anybody ever remember those books? I have them in my library. I think there was three volumes. Was it three volumes, Brother Day? Three volumes that had to deal with questions that Pentecostals ask. And I thought about that, and I thought about, well, if we're going to launch out into a new course of study, well, Lord, what's that study going to be? What are the topics that we're going to talk about and discuss? And I felt kind of nudged, and it's like, well, what do they want to know? What do we as a body of Christ want? What are some of the questions that we have concerning today, concerning our lives, concerning what it means to be apostolic, concerning how we approach the issues? Because we are not, and I'm going to repeat this, we are not going to be able to get around them. We live in an information age. We live in a time where everybody, you don't just put something out there and say, well, that's the way it is anymore. It doesn't work that way. And so we're going to talk about some things. Now, let's look at some verses of Scripture. And I want to draw your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. And we're going to read three verses of Scripture. This is where I chose to draw the title of the text, if you will. But then we're going to go back and look at that. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Because I'm going to call upon you to read if you have a Bible and you're willing to do so. Because I want to look at the backdrop of these three verses of Scripture to kind of introduce this topic, to kind of introduce the subject and why we're launching out into a study like this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 12 and 14. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now, I realize when the Apostle Paul is writing this, I realize that he is writing it with the understanding of the difference between adherence to the Old Testament and the understanding of the New Testament. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to go to the Scriptures that precede and then the Scriptures that follow this passage in 2 Corinthians. So if somebody has their Bible and they would be really, willing to stand and read, I want someone to start reading in 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and read the first six verses. Any takers? Says Christy, go ahead. The Apostle Paul, now we understand that the Bible, though, is divided into chapters and verses. In its original format, it was not done so. It was written as a letter. So the Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Corinth, in his second letter to the church at Corinth, he is defining, if you will, the difference between the old and the new. He's talking about the letter of the law as opposed to the spirit of the law. He's talking about tablets of stone, obviously referring to the Ten Commandments, the commandments of the Lord, as opposed to fleshly tables of the heart. He's talking about how that in the New Testament. He said, we are ministers of the New Testament. In this new dispensation, in the New Testament, which, by the way, we live, in that dispensation, there is a difference, if you will, that we live according to the letter of the law, that the law of God, the Spirit writes upon the fleshly tables of our heart. And while the Old Testament, those that looked into the Old Testament, they did so not knowing that there would be an abolishment or a taking away of the Old Covenant to establish the New Covenant. That we now live in the dispensation of the New Testament, and as ministers of the New Testament, we do so differently. Does that make sense? The way that we minister and the way that we talk to people and the way that we... And here's another thing you have to understand in the sense of the Old Testament as opposed to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you can do a little research, you can find that this is true. In the Old Testament, God's people were not interested. It was not about getting other people to join. It was not about outreach. It was not about speaking to other people about being Jews like they were Jews. It was a different understanding. But now in the New Testament, there is that willingness, that is desire that we are no longer Jews and Greeks, but all of us together understand that the Bible and God's word is for each and every one of us. It's not separated by race. It's not separated by understanding in the sense of the law. But now under the New Testament, this understanding of Christ is available to anybody and everybody. Now, someone else. Read verses 7 down through 11. Anybody? This crowd participation thing is really starting off with a bang. Go ahead, Brother Cal. Can I summarize without changing the context of what the Apostle Paul is saying? The Old Testament, while wonderful and while glorious, was not as glorious as what we have in the New Testament. The Old Testament, while serving its purpose and while being the covenant that was first established, that first testament, that first covenant, while it was applicable then, and while it was for the purpose then, and while there was glory involved therein, now we have a New Testament that is much more glorious in its ministration. In other words, how people understand, and how people know, and how people come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done for them. It's so much more glorious. For one, think about it in this aspect. For one, it's not closed. The Old Testament was only for the Jews or those that were proselyted. It was not for everybody. But now the New Testament, this glory that is through Jesus Christ, is available for everybody. And so then we go on and we use the scripture text here. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaking away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Now catch, he goes on to say, but even unto this day when Moses is read, that veil is upon their heart. They read the Old Testament. The veil is over. They can't see. They can't understand. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass as the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Let me kind of boil that down a little bit. The Old Testament, while types and shadows of Christ, the Old Testament, while glorious in what it did and how it was able to lead people to walk in ways that were right, it pales in comparison to the glory which is in Jesus Christ, which as we look into the now the perfect law of liberty, which is through Jesus Christ, it's much more glorious and it's much more inclusive and it's much more accepting, if you will, in the sense that there is no separation. separation by race or gender. It's allowable for anybody and everybody, for whomsoever will, let him come. And so in this, we use great plainness of speech. We talk about things. We're not trying to do it in secret. We're not trying to make it mysterious or keep it covered in any way. We use great plainness of speech. We talk about the issues. What if you could ask any question without the thought of how you would be perceived for asking it? Think about that. What if you could ask any question without worry about how you would be perceived for asking that question? Any question. Any question. Any question at all. It's completely open for you to ask any question without anybody knowing you're asking the question. What question or questions would you ask? What would you want to know? If you had an opportunity to ask a question and you didn't have any worry about what people would think of you for asking the question, because let's face it, there's many times when maybe the floor is open for questions and answered, and we have a question, but we're afraid maybe to ask it because we don't want to be perceived that we don't know, or that we're ignorant to that fact, or, man, that she should know that. She's been in church for years. What if you had the opportunity to ask a question and you didn't have to worry about what people would think of you for asking the question? What question or questions would you ask? At the back, you'll see a box. Box basically has in it some cards. The cards say, plainly speaking, question submission card. We'll talk about this in a little bit. You can do it anonymously. You can just check the anonymous box. I don't want anybody to know that I'm asking this question. Or you can put your name on it. Maybe you want to be identified as a person asking the question. That's fine. Either way. It says, please attempt to make the question easy to understand as possible. And note that some liberty may be taken to rearrange or restructure the question in order to combine and address submissions that are similar. Gives you opportunity to space to put a question. And then if you would like, it says, why this question? Explain why the question is being asked. That may help clarify how to adequately address and respond to the submitted question. Very simple. I just check anonymous, or I write my name. If I want to be identified as the person submitting the question, I write the question, try to be as clear, simple as possible. And then I explain why, if I want to. You don't even have to. If you want to explain why you're asking the question, well, that might help in attempting to clarify and give an answer. So at the back, you're going to see it. It's going to be there on the back. Now, if you don't put any questions in there, it's going to be a very short-lived study. This is an opportunity for you to put questions in the box and for us to get together and talk about these questions and answer these questions biblically. Now, why? Plainly speaking, will be a congregation-created curriculum. In other words, questions can be submitted anonymously or with identity. Questions addressed and discussed will be selected based upon frequency and or similarity of subject. So if we have three people that submit a similar question, and that's the most prominent question, well, obviously we're going to address that question. Questions should be submitted with honest intent, sincerity, and for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ. Subject and content of the questioner at the sole discretion of the individual making the submission. I'm not putting any parameters on this. I'm not saying they're only dealing with salvation. No. Any question. Any question at all that you want to ask and that you want to have us talk, discuss, look at it biblically, it's open. It's available. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of doing something like this? Why would we take the time to find out from you what you want to have taught on? Well, curriculum will seek to adequately address questions from a scriptural basis. It's not about our opinion. It's about what the Bible says. It's about what thus saith the word of the Lord. Now, there are some questions that one may ask that we may not have exact chapter and verse for. But most of the time, there's biblical principle, precedent. There's something in the Word of God that will address something similar, or it gives us a basis from which to answer that question correctly. Make sense? It's an open opportunity format, and it will offer more congregant participation. In other words, we're going to talk about and we're going to discuss what you want to discuss. What questions? Again, this is something new, so it may be a flop. I don't know. Could be. But then nobody will ever say, well, you don't give us an opportunity to talk about the things we want to talk about, because now's your chance. Here's your opportunity. Generate interest in subject material being taught. Well, I would like to think that we're always interested in Bible study, but sometimes it's just, I mean, if I told you that for the next 8 weeks we're going to be studying the names and Chronicles, there's a reason we could do that. But I don't think that's going to generate much interest. Maybe that's your kind of thing. I have an uncle who's very much into that kind of stuff, and that probably would be very interesting to him. And quite frankly, I would probably have to have him up here teaching it. But hopefully it's going to generate interest in the subject material being taught and provide sound biblical principles and precepts for the questions of today. Let me just give you an example, and I'm not trying to give you hints as to what to put in the box. And I know that on the surface many of us know scripture verses that pertain to this. But thinking about, and I really hope and pray that it's not, the intent in here is not to be selfish in any way, shape, or form, but when it comes to issues like homosexuality, I never thought that I would be raising children in a generation that sees that as acceptable. Never thought so. And let's face it, maybe your kids are grown up and they're not facing this right now, but I dare say I'm going to have to talk to Austin and Kinsley and Lane at points and times in their lives about some individuals that they may be friends with or that they may know. And I'm going to have to try to lead them into how to talk about those issues. It's not going to be successful just to say, well, it's wrong. It's not. I need to give there needs to be great plainness of speech and understanding why. What is the Bible? What's the precedent in the Bible? What does the Bible say about it? And why do we understand that it's not just an alternate lifestyle? Things to consider when submitting a question. In other words, these are the things I want you to think about in submitting the question. I'm not trying to pigeonhole you into staying in a certain area. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to, just things to consider when you're going to submit a question. Questions on ambiguous subjects like prophecy and end time events may not have a succinct answer. If you want to go into Revelation and Daniel and pick out, well, what is this beast and how does this? I mean, I can try to look at and try to study it and look at. I'm not a big prophecy buff. I'm not saying that it's not important. It certainly is. The Bible tells us that we should look at those things. But a lot of those things, when they deal with prophecy and end time events, they are ambiguous. And there are some things that you cannot clearly answer with Scripture. There are some things, quite frankly, that have yet to be fulfilled when it comes to prophecy. And some people that think they already have been fulfilled when it comes to prophecy. And there's a lot of different opinions, if you will, and interpretations as to how those Scriptures relate and what that is and what that means. And so just understand that. When you submit a question, understand that prophecy and those types of subjects, sometimes there's not a clear and succinct answer to give. In accordance with 2 Timothy 2:23, foolish and unlearned questions will be avoided as they gender strife. Well, who determines what is foolish and unlearned? I will. Have faith in me as shepherd of the flock and pastor, understand what's a good question and what's not a good question. And please allow me to, again, if you submit it anonymously, I'm not going to know who submitted the question in the first place. And allow me the liberty maybe to restructure or rearrange the question so maybe it addresses your question and somebody else's at the same time. Because maybe they're similar, maybe not in the exact content of the question, but maybe the biblical principle or precept that addresses both questions is similar. Fair enough? Providing scripture references in regard to the question can be helpful. In other words, if you have a question concerning a certain scriptural reference. Now, again, there's some things I'm not going to be able to find for you. I don't know who the man was in Mark that came to Jesus when they were leading him away and gave him his cloak and ran away naked. I don't know who that man was. I don't know that anybody know who that man was. You'll have to wait to heaven to ask that question. I don't know. I don't think you can find out. And anything that you may offer as an explanation would be speculative at best. I'm not, please understand, I'm not trying to get you to avoid questions. I'm just trying to make sure the questions and their content are going to be edifying to the church. Maybe someone has asked you a question and you need a better answer. Maybe someone in the course of your conversations and in talking with individuals, they've asked you a question and you have a preliminary response that you gave them, but you don't really feel like you really articulated what needed to be said in that moment, and you want to be able to address that. Should that ever come up again in conversation, I want to have a good answer for that. I want to be able to correctly give them reason as to what I believe and why I believe it. Final thoughts. Maybe. Look at 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The Bible instructs us to be ready to give an answer. The Bible instructs us that when people inquire as to why we are who we are, why we live how we live, why we do what we do, how do we answer? How do we give them an answer? Now, I'll be honest, there's been times in my life where I've been asked a question and I don't have the answer right then and there. But I can in meekness say, listen, I don't know how to address that question at this point in time, but if you'll give me the liberty to study a little bit and maybe ask somebody that I think might have a better answer, I can come back to you and give you a better answer on this subject. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as we can give them a reason, as long as we can come to them and give them an answer. I don't believe just leaving it open or just saying, well, I really don't know that, is sufficient. We need to be plain in our speech and understood. People need to know. People need to understand that we're not careful to answer in these matters. We understand that we're not going to know it all. But the Bible tells us, the Bible instructs us that we study. We study the Word of God. We show ourselves approved, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And sometimes us coming together and talking about these issues and discussing these questions, because I dare say there will be some people that if you participate in this and you put a question in that box, your question that you want answered, somebody else wants that same question answered. Maybe they're not bold enough to put it in there. Maybe they're not bold enough to say it. Or maybe they don't feel like they should be the one to ask it. And again, that's why we're saying you can do it anonymously. Look at this. Think about this. Numerous times during the course of Jesus' ministry, he fielded questions of various types. Look at it. And sometimes those questions were from honest-hearted, sincere people that really wanted to know the answer. And sometimes those questions were from lawyers and publicans and other people that were trying to trip him up. But you don't ever find, where Jesus doesn't address the question. Jesus always addresses the question. It may not be in the way that they wanted it. It may have not been the response that they wanted. And let's just face it. Sometimes we don't ask the questions because we don't really want to know the answer. But here's an opportunity. Jesus, I believe you look in the Bible, and if somebody used great plainness of speech, Jesus used great plainness of speech in giving his answer. And let him, now, were some of his answers in regards to maybe the kingdom of heaven and other things, where did they take, yes, were they explained right away? No. Sometimes they had to be taken on faith. Sometimes the disciples and other people had to understand that, wait a second, maybe later on I'll get this. Maybe the answer that's being given right now, I don't completely understand. But here's the thing, even in the course of this study, sometimes a question may be asked and the answer may be given, and you may not understand the question. You may not even understand the answer. You be patient with the process. Be patient and understand that over time, God is not the author of confusion. It is not God's intent for any of us to wonder why we do what we do, or why we live like we live, or why we believe like we believe. And I believe that it is incumbent upon the church. It's necessary for us, if so much so in this day and this age, to use great plainness of speech, to do it in such a way, understand, we do it still with the fruit of the Spirit. We still do it with kindness and gentleness and meekness, long-suffering, but to answer the question. Because, folks, there are people all around us that the more crazy this world gets, the more questions they have. And I, for one, want to be able to answer those questions. I, for one, want to understand. Maybe it's a question that you don't feel proper to come and ask me, but you want to know what pastor feels about this or what pastor thinks along these lines. Put it in the box. Here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity to either, with your identity or anonymously, ask a question and for us to address those questions. This is not a game of attempt to stump the teacher. No points will be awarded for the best question. It's just an opportunity to use plainness of speech to answer questions with biblical evidence and scriptural support showing why we believe what we believe. Finally, this could be used to get others interested in our midweek Bible study. This could be an opportunity. I've heard people say, people I know have said, well, you know, I thought maybe the Bible study was going to be more of a discussion about the Bible and things concerning the Bible. I didn't know it was going to be like a teaching format. Well, it is still going to be somewhat of a teaching format, but this is an opportunity for others to get involved. And yes, if proper, we will have a time of question and answering as to why we are dealing with these things and why these subjects are necessary to be discussed. But I think it's proper. I think it's something that will help us. I think it's something that we don't. I'm putting the pressure on me. I'm not putting it on you. I can come up with curriculum. That's not a problem. I can teach on different things, but what I want to teach on is what you want to know. Because guess what? There may be some questions, and I dare say there will be some questions that are going to take some digging on my part. It's going to take some study on my part to give good biblical answers for the questions. Now, we have 4 minutes. You can stand. You don't have to do it tonight. By all means, if you want to do it tonight, there are question cards back there. They're just on the side of the box. Hopefully, we'll have enough between now and next Wednesday that I will be able to address some of the questions. If you have a question already tonight, feel free, fill out the card, drop it in the box. There's a little slot in the top. You can kind of roll it up and pop it down in there. Or you can even open the lid and put it down in there. And I commit to you. I'm not going to share. If it's written anonymously, I'm not going to try to find out who asked the question. I'm not going to try to do some search. I wonder who put that's not what this is about. This is about talking about the subjects and teaching on the subjects that you want to have taught on. Fair enough? It's an opportunity for you to learn. It's an opportunity for me to learn and for us to grow together and understanding things concerning the Bible. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that we would understand, God, in your word. You, I'd offer license for us to take issues, God. Much of the New Testament was written to Holy Ghost-filled believers, God, who needed clarification in their lives, God, who needed direction. Many of the letters that were written by the Apostle Paul were done so to address questions that arose in the churches, Lord. And I pray, God, that as a body of believers, God, we would take that same understanding that we, God, must ask questions, God, to get the answers, Lord, to grow in our faith, to understand, to create more of a firm foundation in what we believe and why we believe it. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you. I've given you 3 minutes to submit questions if you want to go back there now and submit questions. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.